Welcome to The Frenzy. I'm Melissa Carter.
And I'm Jen Hobby.
The Frenzy's mission is to celebrate friendships over 40.
We believe that women can thrive through authentic relationships, self-discovery, and spiritual exploration.
Our decades-long friendship continues to grow because we are willing to go there and share our truths through life's highs and lows.
That's why The Frenzy is here, to hold space for women who are 40 and older, because at this age, your story matters more than ever.
Michaela Renee, welcome to The Frenzy.
Thank you for having me.
We are so excited to talk with you today. Yes. Michaela Renee Johnson is a best-selling author, licensed psychotherapist, and host of the top iTunes podcast, Be You, Find Happy. Michaela encourages people to speak their truth with grace and live a courageous life of authenticity. Man, wouldn't that be awesome if we could all do that? Her initiative, Be You, Find Happy, holds workshops and conversations on finding happiness in spite of life's setbacks and has landed her speaking opportunities across the nation. Michaela is also featured in a new book called The Higher Level Method, Success Stories on How to Master Your Business and Life Goals. And we are so excited to welcome you to the Frenzy conversation today.
I'm excited to talk. I love this kind of topic in general, especially during these really difficult, challenging times. So I'm happy to be here.
I think my first question, Michaela, is, you know, everything Jen just said, your initiative to get people to live more authentically, you know, here on The Frenzy, we talk specifically to women over 40. I think it should be easier at the older we get to be more authentic, but do you find that still to be as much of a challenge or less of a challenge as you get older?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, as it pertains to women in general, I think that as we get older, we tend to have a little less concern about what others think about us. I think we spend the, you know, formative years of our life really concerned about fitting in socially and, you know, trying to be well-liked by our peers. And I think what kind of shifts as we start to get older is we really find a tribe that's close to us that loves us for who we are, and it becomes a little bit easier to speak our truth and live authentically. That being said, I think that we're in a really interesting time on the planet right now where I think people maybe are even questioning what their own truth really is. I mean, in 2020, a lot of things that we preoccupied ourselves with got stripped from us. So we might have thought we were living a happy life going along. And then when these things started getting taken away from us, you know, our happy hour on Thursday night, you know, traveling, this and that, it really caused us to sit and reflect and look at ourselves. And we were spending a lot more time with the immediate family in our home environments and things like that. And a lot of time kind of looking at each other and ourselves and going, wow, is this the life I want to live? I'm of the belief that people over 40 are starting to kind of feel the TikTok and recognize that I get this one life. And I want to make it the best that it can be. And a lot of people start to realize around that time that they've lived most of life for someone else, whether it be, you know, as a mom doing things out of necessity for your children, or as a wife taking on that role to support your husband, or being very career oriented and climbing the ladder. Now I'm facing the reality that I've plateaued to go. And how do I want to spend the downhill? You know,
Michaela, I want to hear a little bit more about your personal story. Reading about you, I found out a little nugget from your past I thought was so interesting. You grew up with no running water or electricity and have transformed your life into this successful therapy practice. So tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, I really think that, you know, when I was young and I was in that experience, which was, you know, my parents kind of sold everything and moved us to a really small rural mountain town. And we lived kind of off the land, so to speak. We had no power, no running water, no, you know, we lived very, 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 very simply rudimentary, to say the least. I hated it. I wanted a lot more out of my life. You know, I was chasing the inevitable dollar and I wanted nothing of what I had. I wanted out of the small town. I wanted, you know, to really create a life that looked glamorous from the outside, because I was definitely the kid in school that, you know, was never showing up in dirty clothes. Like, my mom was still very classy and made sure that we were always well kept and stuff like that. But, you know, I was certainly not enjoying the luxuries of some of my peers. So I got that life. I had the $750,000 house with the ocean view in San Diego and the whole nine, and realized that I was still incredibly unhappy. Like, I really wasn't finding a lot of happiness through that process. And some things turned in my life where I kind of had a like rock bottom type experience, and where I really tapped into was the joyous memories that I had of the simple life I had as a kid, where we enjoyed nature and we sat around fire pits and laughed and joked and lived life in a much different way. And so I kind of really tapped into that space to redefine the direction of my life and what I wanted from it. And I live a very humble existence now, but it's much more fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. When you say that, I find it ironic that, you know, we as parents always try to do for our children, like the lessons we've learned, we try to apply to our children, right? So it's interesting, mm-hmm. like your parents moved to a town for a simple life for a reason and fast forwarded y'all to that. But as a child, your perception, you didn't have the reasoning on why the decision was made, right? So you're sitting there going, I'm bored. You know, my friends at school don't live like this, so I want something different. But then you end up, you know, full circle coming back to it. So as a kid, I tend to go back to what my parents' philosophies are. And as a parent, I often wonder, is he going to take any of this with him, or is this all going to be thrown away when he's an adult? So right. Sounds like something I'm doing, he'll attach to. But I just think that that's ironic that that's the cycle of how it goes. But I think that is the importance of experience. And that's the importance of that. You know, sometimes you have to go through something in order to achieve a better life. And for a lot of people, they just want to avoid any kind of, you know, discomfort at all costs.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that in the discomfort, we have the greatest growth. I mean, I think that from that place of not feeling satisfied or happy, humans tend to kind of dive into that problem solving mindset of like, well, now I need to fix this. If we're comfortable, we're not real motivated to change anything in our life. You know, it's that point in which you hit where you go, ooh, this isn't sitting right, that your kind of old fashioned reptilian brain kicks in and goes, better change it then.
So how do you help some of your clients as a psychotherapist get to that place of happy?
I believe it's very simple. I think we've really complicated the therapeutic process. This is something I've actually been kind of diving into in my practice lately. And I really think it's a matter of meeting people where they're at and hearing their story. I think a story told is a path to healing, and it really just comes down to that. My approach to therapy is, you know, obviously I'm not here to provide you the answers, but I'm here to help you see some ways in which you might be getting in the way of yourself. And so that's kind of the approach that I take to my practice.
I just wrote down a story told is a path to healing. So as you said that, I was writing that down because, you know, we here on The Frenzy always talk about how telling your story is so important because your story matters. And you said earlier about how women have spent so much of their life serving others. And so we try to encourage women to tell their stories and what their experiences have been, even especially if it's not sexy, right? Especially if it's vulnerable, because that's where, I mean, to me, it's like a vulnerable story is the path to healing, right? Not this facade that you've been telling yourself for a long, you know, this Instagram facade where everything is perfect, you know, I was thinking the other day when my house is just in a terrible state. And so I'm like, I should take pictures of this and post them on Instagram and say, this is real life. You know, that what I posted earlier when I shoved all the crap aside of the camera frame, that's not real. This is real, you know, stepping over stuff.
Yeah. You see those funny memes that are like Instagram and the person's all posed and beautiful. And then the reality is like that. I think that if you look back on stories of people past, men, women, whatever, children, you know, it is their story that is their legacy. You know, it's not as much about what they did as what they endured. And I think that's what it really comes down to is, you know, how do we take the experiences that we have in our life and create a legacy from them?
Mm-hmm.
Michaela, you mentioned earlier you had reached a rock bottom, and then it was that realization point that you didn't need all that stuff. All that stuff wasn't making you happy. Can you tell us a little bit more about that to get to your real story of what it was?
Yeah. And you know, I mean, I say rock bottom because it's a term I think that people can understand, but it was really more of just an emotional awakening that I had literally everything that I wanted. And, you know, my situation was such that I was in an abusive relationship, and it was really kind of coming to pass that I would have to walk away from everything. And, to take a risk on myself and to take a risk on my happiness and to take a risk on what could be. And so in that way, it was kind of this emotional awakening or a rock bottom space of like, well, what now? What next? You know, this obviously is not working. So it's not like kind of the dramatic rock bottoms that people think of. And here's the truth for everybody listening. That's not my only rock bottom. I've had many rock bottoms in my life. I have had many moments where I have been on my knees reassessing how I got here and what the hell I'm doing. I think it's important that people know that we can have many micro moments of rock bottom, and it's a really good space to be in. Yeah. Because that's really where we make the biggest changes towards what we want in our life.
And it's what makes you empathetic towards others too.
Correct. Yeah.
If you know, when you are brave enough to face the things that aren't going well in your life, when you are ready to look them head on and make changes, it also, you know, gives you that strength to care for other people as they're going through it and lift other people up when you've come out of it.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. You know, I had coffee with a friend, first time we've seen each other since before the pandemic, and we sat on a patio and we're having coffee and we're talking, and I was reminded of the conversation because you used the term risk, because she's a woman over 40 and the pandemic really allowed her to be in her own space and try to decide what she wants to do with the rest of her life. And she mentioned to me that, you know, she was moving forward with that, but she was taking time risk and financial risk in order to achieve what she was doing. And so she was like afraid. She's like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I'm trying to do something different than I did before. And now I'm being risky. And so, you know, so that's kind of what you need to do in order to get what you want, right? Is to be willing to take that risk and be uncomfortable, like we mentioned before.
It's funny when it comes to the topic of risk, I have some interesting thoughts there. I hike every day in mountain lion territory. I love to hike, so I do it. I mitigate my risk by taking my dog. I mitigate my risk by, you know, is occasionally carrying, if, you know, people in the community have been reporting that there's a, you know, active kind of lion going on, or pepper spray, whatever. And I think that it's important that, you know, we recognize that risk is the thing that gets us to the space that we want to be. Like, you're never going to get what you want without being willing to step outside of the comfort zone that we were talking about, because by the nature of the next thing, it's different than what you're in. And anytime there's something different, there's a risk associated with that. I've been paralyzed by fear in my past. I've been paralyzed by the what ifs and the, you know, shoulda, woulda, couldas and all those kinds of things. And I think that we really find ourselves in a sticky situation when we see risk as something that inhibits us rather than something that propels us to where we want to go.
That's a great point.
So good. Yes. I have a dear friend who is a terrible decision maker. She gets so stuck in indecision. And I think what you just described, I'm going to take this podcast and play it for her and be like, listen to Michaela Renee all over again and on repeat until you realize that risk is a good thing. It propels you forward and change is okay. Why is it that humans are so hardwired to resist change?
Well, it's interesting. As you were even talking in that moment, I was picturing your friend and what she might be struggling with. You know, I've certainly had those kind of ruminations or just repeat thought cycles that are not letting me like get off the hamster wheel. And I think what it comes down to is faith. you know, we have to have some sort of belief that we are going to be held and supported however we land. And I think that we lose that. I think that we lose this, this trust that no matter what, we're going to be okay. And we start to, you know, fall into this mindset of, oh, but what if I this and what if I that? And aside from like becoming highly addicted to, you know, methamphetamine and living on the streets or something, you know, the chances of you not landing fairly softly is pretty small, you know? I mean, and the thing is I can honestly say every, you know, quote, bad thing that has happened to me in my life in hindsight has been the best thing that has happened to me in my life. So, you know, I think that in the moment, you know, we become so concerned that change equals failure, and it doesn't, you know, mm-hmm. and more often than not, the bad or the most difficult times were the ones that got us to the next best place that we experience.
It goes back to my conversation with my friend, exactly what you said, because women, in the case of the frenzy, women over 40, you, and I said this to her, I said, we have had enough experience because we're both over 40, I'm over 50. And I'm like, we both have enough experience in our life to know that you're going to be okay. Whether this venture is successful or not, you're going to be okay. And I think, again, bringing up the pandemic, where for me, it's like my new litmus test is, am I going to die from this? Okay, no, then I can do it. Right.
Right. Yeah.
If it's not going to kill me, then why can't I do it?
It's funny you guys say that, because I started to learn to fly in February of this year, and I fly a 1947 Piper Super Cruiser. So it's a cloth airplane with a tailwheel. So it's basically a little kite that's incredibly squirrely. And tailwheels are amazing. Kind of known for being these like little death traps. And I used to kind of take that approach that you say, well, if it's not going to kill me, then and now I'm like, eh, pretty good chance I could die. So instead, I kind of look at it, and it kind of goes back to that mitigating risk thing, you know, arm yourself with as much knowledge as you possibly can, and then trust a higher power, whatever that higher power looks like for you. You know, and I feel for people that, not to get kind of spiritual, but I feel for people that kind of think that, you know, the dirt is the next thing, because that makes it a lot more challenging to be, in this lifetime, because you are going to have that element of, this is the only chance I got. There's nothing after this, you know, and nobody really knows. Maybe they're completely right. But even then, the same applies. Like, I want to live the best life I can in this one. And I would much rather, you know, this is funny. I got COVID in, I don't know if we're allowed to say that word on this podcast. I got COVID August of 2021, Delta variant. And I've been very vocal about my beliefs on the perpetuation of fear and psychological impacts of what's happening in the world because of this. And people would always say, but what if you die? And I would say, but what if I didn't live? What if I had spent the whole last year and a half of my life in my home alone to die from COVID? That sounds terrible to me. That sounds just awful to me. So the whole thing was, when I got COVID, you know, I was like, if I die, at least I enjoyed the last year and a half. Gosh, I had a great time. You know, I learned how to be a pilot, and I spent a lot of time with my friends and family and reconnecting and you know, in very simple ways, since we couldn't travel or go out to eat and all these other things, you know, and I was grateful for that time. And I know it's a sensitive topic and everybody has different opinions, but I think it all comes back down to that. Are you living the life you want to live? Are you being authentic? Are you speaking your truth? Are you seeking knowledge? Are you mitigating risk? And are you succumbing to fear?
Well, a quick story on what you said about spirituality. My father was in the Army, and he was a first lieutenant. So he was in charge of troops in the Army. And there was one time when I was a high schooler and rebellious and an activist. And he said, there's no such thing as an atheist. And I was like, that is small-minded thinking. You're not being inclusive, like all these things. He said, well, hear me out. He said, hear me out, because he was in charge not only of these troops, but also when they died, he was the one with them, right? So he made a point that if one of his men was in his last breath, that he was there with them. And he said, every single time, he said, it doesn't have to be God. He said, but every single time one of them yelled out for something, called out for something, reached out for something out of fear of losing their life. And he said, so everybody has a belief system, whether they realize it or not. He said, it could be God. It could be your mom. It could be something else. But he's like, you hold on emotionally to something when you're desperate. Wow. And so, and I thought, you know what? He's got a point. So even the people who believe dirt's the next thing, there's still a belief system within them about something.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I think that it's a pretty powerful story to say that we reach for something or someone in our final breaths. I mean, that's really powerful if you think about it. And it kind of plays to the whole idea of, you know, what we're doing right now in the way of our social life and how we're stripping people from that need to be loved and need to be held and need to be supported. I mean, we started this podcast by talking about, you know, our people in their 40s living more authentically and speaking their truth. And it's like, you know, in those formative years, you're trying to fit in socially, you know, and on some level, we're all doing that for our whole life because we are social beings. And I think that's what's been really challenging about the times that we're in is everybody on some level has had to redefine their own life and refind their tribe.
So good. Oh my gosh. Tell me about this spiritual exploration. If this is really resonating with some of our listeners, like, what are some things you would encourage people to do to find that deeper connection?
You guys, you know, I think there are no accidents, but you guys are getting me at a very odd time because I, you know, have spent quite a few years in, you know, diving to Eastern mysticism and New Age, and I am in recovery from that. So I am kind of having some really big awakenings and realizing the roots of some of those things and how they sucked me in. So I'm in a very interesting space of self-discovery. And it's not, I don't think, an accident that I have a lot of clients who are coming to me and or are just suddenly opening up and talking about their own journey lately. I think that with everything that's happened in 2020 and people really taking a look at a fear of dying, there was kind of this inevitable fallout of a fear of dying plays right into the what happens next concept, you know, or conversation. There was a time in my life and in the not too distant past that I would encourage everybody to seek out, you know, all sources and resources and do a lot of research and, you know, dive into all of these different ideas. Now I take a very different stance and I say the most important thing I think for people seeking spiritual truth right now is discernment. And I think there are a lot of evil agendas that are vying for the spirits and souls of many. So I'm of the position right now that discernment is the most important thing.
Great advice.
Right. Well, I think in some level, especially if there's an insecurity you're trying to fill. No, there's a little bit of a delay, but if you're insecure and you're trying to find a fulfillment for that, you're still insecure and relying on something else to take care of it, right? So the discernment helps you understand that you have to be in control in whatever enlightenment you are receiving. It's not like somebody else is in control. I don't know if I'm expressing that correctly, but I sometimes think that people don't understand that you're just taking the same baggage from place to place instead of facing your baggage.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that certain things can prey on... punny, get it, prey on. They can prey on the people who are in some space of self-help or seeking some sort of recovery or healing.
Mm-hmm. I do think what's beautiful about faith when you feel the correct connection after the discernment stage and that connection to your higher power, God, spirit, whatever name you have for it, and whatever religion or you know, area you practice, I do think there's a comfort in that relationship with the divine because then you aren't in charge of everything. It doesn't feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. So like with my friend that's sort of stuck in indecision a lot, or Melissa's friend who's in the midst of a transition, like if you have a spiritual connection, you know, there's something on your side that it's gonna be okay. And it does, to me, it takes the weight of those decisions away because it's like, well, I'm loved anyway. and it's going to be okay. Would you agree? Yes. I don't know. Maybe I'm out there.
I totally agree. And I think that you hit on an important point, which is kind of what we talked about, you know, a few minutes ago on this podcast as well, is, you know, love is probably the most powerful thing. I mean, if I think about, you know, people that are in their deepest, darkest depths, it's like, you know, what's the one thing that can change someone or give them another sense of something? And it's that, you know, it's the idea that someone somewhere loves you.
Absolutely. Well, I want to hear a little bit more about Be You and Find Happy. I know there's workshops and a podcast. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah. So, you know, at this point, it is taking its own journey, really. It was a metaphysically oriented podcast that was really about, you know, helping people kind of tap into some of these concepts of astrology and various different ways for seeking and healing and stuff like that. And having a lot of people on the podcast who were, you know, experts in the happiness field. You know, I've had some pretty impressive celebrities who are doing some incredible work in that arena. And in the past couple of weeks, it's kind of taken on this life of like, you know, how do you find happiness in spite of the fact that everything seems to kind of be falling apart? And now it's really been focused a little bit more heavily on the being authentic and speaking your truth, with whatever that looks like, gracefully, because I think people are really having to stand for convictions and yet still exist on the planet with people that don't have the same convictions. So, you know, the podcast has kind of taken more of that approach and is sharing a lot of information about, you know, how can you seek information and how can you feel confident in your opinion or your belief? You know, how can you go out in the world and coexist, you know, when maybe you're being asked to do something you don't want to do or vice versa? So that's kind of the direction the podcast has taken. My workshops, they used to be very metaphysically oriented. There was a lot of with oracle cards and things like that. And so I really pumped the brakes on all of that. I kind of had to put it all back and say, okay, let's take a moment and kind of redefine what feels right in my belly, what aligns with my own, you know, direction and experiences that I'm having right along with everybody else. And so, you know, a lot of people had, you know, kind of been coming to me as like, you're the happiness expert. You're supposed to be rainbows and butterflies and post all about cotton candy. And, you know, that's just not the reality that we're living in right now. So how can we create rainbows from the rain? That's what we're focused on right now. So matter of fact, that might just be the next workshop name.
Cotton candy and rainbows. That'd be good too.
That's right. Well, and also one last thing about this whole time and your workshops and your podcasts and what we're trying to do. I think one of the most positive things to come out of this odd time we've been a part of is the fact that mental health is a conversation and that focusing on your mental health and emotional health. And we realize how fragile we are in those two arenas based on what we've been through. I think that's going to be the best thing to come out of this is that people will be more accepting of wanting to work on themselves than probably they did before.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, we've kind of become a doled down society of people who were very sensitive to really anything. When I think about my great grandparents and even my grandfather, you know, going to war on the beaches of Normandy, there was this grit about, you know, our kind of forefathers that they kind of took this approach of like, bring it on. I'm stronger, I'm tougher, and I've got this. And we've kind of like accepted this fluffy existence of like, if I'm cold in my house, I turn on my heater. If I'm hot in my house, I turn on my air conditioner, you know? And so I think that more than anything, what this is about, as far as the mental component of it, is getting some resiliency, you know, finding a little grit emotionally, mentally, because we've really kind of fluffied ourselves to the space where, you know, any slight thing that just makes us feel uncomfortable, we just shut down. And that's not really an option anymore.
It is a great thing to open up to, though, and talk about mental health, like in a way where we don't feel ashamed by it. And where, you know, Melissa and I always talk about on The Frenzy, where reach out to a trusted friend and tell your story, whether that story is like, I'm having a really tough time right now, or I'm stuck, or whatever that might be. You know, opening up and sharing that with even just a friend can help you get unstuck in that space and work your way right through it. It's like,
I'll tell you, I have a lot of younger clients, you know, early 20s and things like that. And they're awesome because they're like, yeah, I was talking with my friend the other day and I said that my therapist told me, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like that, that is like a new thing. I mean, I, you know, when I started as a psychotherapist 11 years ago, it was a shh, don't let anybody know that, you know, you're seeing a shrink.
Kind of, right.
And now it's really migrated where I think people are a lot more open to this idea of, again, kind of going back to our very first, you know, topic is it's just a story told. That's it. It's just getting it out. And that's the path to healing.
What's the number one question your clients ask you? Like, what's the most popular thing people come to see you for?
What should I do? Fill it up with whatever you want behind it. What should I do?
Well, let me add to that. So what advice would you give to women? We talk a lot of times about how women, because like we said earlier, have served others, that when they get to be whoever they want to be in the third phase of their life, they have no idea. Like, you know, at least with my friend at the coffee shop, she had an idea of what she wanted to do. But I think if you ask a lot of women, okay, now kids are gone, let's, you know, you're financially independent, you get to do whatever you want to do. I bet 3/4 of women couldn't even tag something that they would be willing to do. What would you tell them to how to dig and find their interests?
You know, it's a really great question. I think it's slightly different for everybody, depending on the influences that they have in their life, because I think that oftentimes we want to make other people happy. And that's what ends up playing into this sense of, you know, a loss of sense of self, is that I've been so busy trying to please everybody else that I don't really know what I want anymore. And a lot of time, you know, my clients, you're not wrong. They don't, they have an idea at all of what would bring them happiness. And even when I start to explore that, it's like, oh, well, you know, I really love doing such and such with my, you know, teenage son, or with my, you know, college age daughter. Okay. Again, that is connected to someone else, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But let's just say that you have, you know, 8 hours of alone time. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to spend it? And that's when it starts to usually come out. Well, you know, I haven't read a book in a long time, or gosh, I used to love to watch old romantic comedies, like, or, I played the piano when I was a little girl. I loved playing the piano. And when you kind of encourage somebody to sit with themselves, that's when you start to find what, and this isn't to say that, you know, spending time with our children or spending time with our grandmother or whatever can't bring us great happiness, because it does. But when grandma's not available and the kids aren't available, that's when, you know, I find that these women that you're kind of describing go, gosh, I feel so depressed. Gosh, I feel so alone. I feel so lonely. And it's because when they're alone, they're not in tune to themselves. They're not connected to themselves. They don't know how to spend that time. So it's like, oh gosh, you know, I really love flowers. Okay. Well, what about putting together a wildflower bouquet and going and picking some wildflowers? Oh, you know, I hadn't really thought of that. So I think that it's about identifying who you are when you're by yourself.
That is so good. Okay. I want everybody listening to think about that. Who are you when you're by yourself? If you had no other responsibilities on the plate, if you had a totally free day, what would you do with it? That's a great question. And I think at the heart of that is remembering who you are, remembering that 8-year-old self.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that little girl self. And sometimes people say, well, I would sleep. And I say to those people, and they're usually like my super spun out type A personalities, you probably need to take a rest. Mm-hmm. Like you know, we shouldn't probably be trying to look at what you want to do next until you recover from what you've been doing. Right. I mean, sometimes we need to slow down and sleep and recover and take some time to rest.
and give yourself that opportunity to do so. That is so awesome. Okay, well, we have a thing we do here on The Frenzy called The Frenzy 5. It's just rapid fire questions.
Oh, answer. Boy.
Okay. First thing that comes to your mind, okay? No All pressure. Right. No pressure. Okay. Number one, where is your cozy happy place?
Oh, golly gee willikers. Cozy happy place. I have lots of happy places. My cozy happy place is probably right where I am. I have a beautiful oasis that I've kind of like sanctuary that I've set up at home, looking out over the forest and the pine trees. And, you know, I've got all sorts of like little wind yard art and a sauna. And I think just being in my space that I've created is my most favorite. Yeah.
Awesome. Number two, what's your favorite framed thing in your home?
Okay, I have two favorite framed things in my home. The first one is, so I'm big on when my son was younger, I would take his art and I would frame it in a nice frame. And so like he did this one with these pastel finger paints and he just kind of swished all over the page. And that's definitely one of my most favorite for a lot of reasons. It makes me think of the inner child that didn't have, you know, a box and lines that they had to stay within, and kind of that idea that, you know, your future is your canvas, you know, and you create what you want and it can be messy. That's definitely one of my most favorite. The second one is actually my son had this little stuffy that he took everywhere with him, and his name was Brave. And he had Brave tucked under his arm, and he looked over at me and he just had this adorable little smile. And I snapped it with my phone really quickly and I had it blown up in black and white. And, aww, you know, just that sense of like peace. And it's just this precious, simple, you know, innocent smile. And so I have it where, you know, when I wake up in the morning and I look at the wall, it's just right there on the wall. It's like, aww, a, you know, good morning, mama.
I love it.
Oh, that's amazing. I love it. Okay. Number three, what's your most memorable birthday?
You know, I can think of a lot of memorable birthdays because I've kind of been like a birthday snob about like making it a big to-do. But the most memorable birthday is actually 2019, my 40th birthday, because I wanted to be abroad with a parasol in a cocktail, and I was, and then the world shut down right after that. So it was kind of, for me, it's kind of this thing of like, you know, I was insistent upon going out of the country for my birthday. I was insistent upon getting away from everything, no cell phones. I was on a very small island, off the coast of Panama, and, you know, I stuck with it. I did it. And now I look back on that as probably, you know, one of the last international trips that I'll take maybe ever, but for certain, you know, for a while. So, you know, it has a lot of special meaning.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Number four, what's a daily routine or ritual that you stick to?
I have a lot. But most definitely number one is a gratitude practice. So every day I'm acknowledging something that I'm grateful for. And I try to do it in the morning. But I also try to make sure that I do it when I'm really ticked off.
So good. And number five, what fashion trend did you jump on? Any era?
You know, I'm going to be honest. I am a total fashion trend setter and nobody believes me. They all make fun of me. And then 6 months later, they're wearing it or they're rocking it. And I'm like, I started that. So I actually feel like I'm kind of one of those people that beats to my own drum that way. And, you know, like I was wearing camo as a girl before it was like a thing. And then girls were wearing camo. And I remember putting my hair up in the like tight bun on my, like the big fluffy tree bun on my head. And then now all the influencers are showing people how to do the bun. I'm like, why are you showing people? That's like the epitome of the lazy. Like there's nothing to do there. Like you just do it because you don't want to deal with the rest of it. But so, yeah. I'm tall. I'm almost 5'10". So I'm a really tall girl. I can tell you one of the things that I didn't jump on for the longest time was capri pants because I lived my life high watering. And the last thing I was going to do was go buy some high watering pants. So, yeah. So But now I'm a fan of the crop. I am a fan of the crop. So
you've come around.
I tend to have a very boho style. You know, I tend to be kind of just really whatever feels flowy and comfortable. I'm really an anomaly in that I'm like a down in the dirt. I have garden and chickens, and I'm really big on driving like an old school Jeep and stuff like that. But then I also wear dresses and want to be pretty. So, you know, I'm kind of this oxymoron that way.
I love it so much. Awesome. Well, y'all go and find more about Michaela Renee. She is at bufindhappy.com and also at Michaela Renee J on Instagram. It rhymes.
It rhymes. It's very sing-songy. Anyway, thank you so much for your time. This has been wonderful.
Thanks for having me. I can't
wait. Thank you so much for being here.
I can't wait to continue these conversations as we continue on in life. They're great. They're great to have.
Is there a friend of yours who would enjoy this episode? Please share this with her. And on Apple Podcasts, here's what you do. You click on the three dots at the top right corner, and then in the drop-down menu, select share episode, and then you can share it however you want. The green messages option will let you text it right to a friend.
We would love for you to also sign up for our weekly email where we send the episode right to your inbox. We make it very easy for you. We also include links on things we discuss and give you some deeper insights to the topics that we cover. And it's how you can also get into our private Facebook group by signing up at the frenzy.com today.
And if you are enjoying the Frenzy podcast with Melissa Carter and me, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening to podcasts and leave us a review. That helps us more than you can imagine. And we really want to reach more people just like you.
And here is your reminder, this is the most important thing we do, right? Is to help you share your story. That's the point of all of this. Open up about your story with trusted friends. Your story absolutely matters.
Please follow The Frenzy on Instagram. That's at The Frenzy with a ZY at the end of friend. If you want to share about the show, tag us so that we can repost it and thank you.
We are everywhere, okay? We're accessible to you everywhere because we also are on YouTube. We have a Frenzy YouTube channel. We finally have a vanity URL, the Frenzy Podcast. So please go to our YouTube channel and you can see some extended interviews, see some bloopers, see what we look like. If you don't know what we look like, again, YouTube, the Frenzy Podcast.
So exciting. The Frenzy is hosted and produced by Melissa Carter and me, Jen Hobby.
Sound editing by Bo Johnson. Original soundtrack produced by Tammy Hurt for Placement Music. Written and recorded by Mark Dannell.
The Frenzy celebrates friendships over 40. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. We love your friendship.
All right, until next week, trust your guts.
Share your story.
And stop lying about your age. We'll see you on Monday.